This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
We've got our next guest on the line with us. Hayley Katzen is a writer, and she's here to talk about her new book, Untethered. Mm. Welcome, Hayley. How are you?
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm far away in the bush of New South Wales, so I'm imagining being in a Melbourne studio with you. It's very good fun.
Oh good.
Well, a warm, comforting studio.
Yeah, nice, comforting. It's the weather's lovely down here at present, although they say it's going to maybe turn later on tonight, tomorrow. But we've had beautiful autumn weather, so we've been lucky. We've been blessed. Now, Hayley, writers are, you know, like it's a hard world. It's a very interesting world. We'll get to that. But give us your story. Give us your background as you. You know, like, where did the interest for writing, and have you, ventured into other forms like theatre, I believe? So give us your story.
I'll give you that story, else I'd keep you all day. Look, I started out as a lawyer, a young woman who wanted to change the world and thought, you know, working with the law was going to be one of those ways. And I suppose I developed an interest in story and how diverse voices get heard through that, and how we understand humans. So story was always my thing, even in law, a lot of research in law. And then I crashed, as we do when we work too hard in law reform and law. And a counsellor said to me, go do something creative. I was in my, somewhere in my early 30s. This is about 20 years ago. And basically, I went off to do an acting workshop, which was called Acting, Playing, Being. And it was, you know, it was really lots of self-development, but it was also acting. And I just had a ball. And on that first weekend workshop, someone said to me, oh, give up your day job. And I thought, oh, maybe I would. So I went off to my boss, I was teaching at a law school at that point. I was an academic. And I said, I'd like to resign. And he was kind of, just take some leave without pay. Just settle down. I did land up working out a few more, I worked for a few more months, and then I did quit. I took leave. And I started, doing lots of acting training with these people that I was working with. And I learned heaps. Look, I learned heaps about myself as much as about performance, and I think that's so much what acting is about, really.
A lot of actors actually do come from the law fraternity, and a lot of comedians as well.
Yes, absolutely. We're going to kind of be used to, I've done a hell of a lot of public speaking in law as well, so in terms of and taught, you know, I think all that comfort with the stage and sometimes coming alive with an audience, I was lucky to have that innate. But I think that, you know, the process of learning about theatre and about method acting and about finding that stuff inside yourself to then try and understand another is what I was very involved in. I kind of thought if I can embody characters on stage, then I can change hearts and minds. And also, then I could understand more what it was like to walk in someone else's shoes. So that was very much where I was at. But really, when you're in your mid-30s, you're not going to make it as an actor.
Oh, really?
You're not in Byron
Bay. Okay.
Well, maybe some would. I think I wasn't good enough. So there we go. But what happened is my teacher said to me that I was doing this character, different character types. And, you know, for whatever we think about labels and types, sometimes they're useful in terms of finding a structure and a form. And the one teacher encouraged me to write a play. So I wrote a one-woman show for... So I was using those six different character types, and it was about attitude, because this is back in, it was shown in 2005. But, you know, sitting in an audience and watching your baby on stage is probably even more frightening than being on the stage and performing.
Yeah.
So I performed in that moment I was down at the theatre, and also the timing was that I was moving to live with my partner Jen on her rural farm, on her cattle farm in the bush. So it was kind of right in nowhere, far away from all the scaffolding that I thought life depended upon. like jobs and getting movies and gay communities and all of that sort of stuff. But I came to live here, and this is actually kind of like, and I was writing short stories at that point. I had no idea how to progress a plot or anything. I think, you know, you have that childhood dream girl one day, you know, when you stop working so hard in your profession or whatever. And yet, it wasn't as straightforward as I thought. But I started learning, I tried a novel, and that was not, I needed to learn about plot. So I then started working in short story, and I had a really lovely time with the short form. Published quite a lot, won quite a lot of comps. But, you know, it's that thing about wanting a book, which really, you know, so much, I think it's all over the world. And until you have a book, you don't kind of get a seat at the writer's table on some level. I mean, you know, you get published in lots of anthologies and all of that sort of thing. You can win competitions. But it really, I can tell you, after this last month of untethered being in the spotlight, I've had a completely different experience from the last 15 years of writing. Mm. So I started with short story, then a publisher looked at them and said, great, Haley, but if you want to get published, write a novel. So when a short story started kind of stretching beyond its bounds, I thought, oh, that's the novel. And I worked on that for another couple of years. The same publisher said, oh, great work, Haley, but, you know, have another go at the plot. And that, I thought, oh, my God. And I started writing nonfiction. I got really thrown and thought, how come I've always been so able with everything, and really writing is a much harder job than law.
Yeah, I could imagine, and it must be Hayley. It must be hard, you know, like because you know, like you have to do the rewrites, and you know, like, and it's your baby, and all of a sudden an editor rips it apart, and you know, like, it's quite soul destroying. You know, how did you keep motivated through that period?
It's incredibly soul-destroying often, but it's also so invigorating as well. So I did crash after that novel wasn't working, and I thought, okay, you know, I realised I was, all my fiction was really a facade for myself, and I was encouraged to try writing in non-fiction. So I started writing essay. And to answer your question, because my memoir, Untethered, has come out of those essays. But the soul-destroying factor is interesting. I was lucky. I had a wonderful friend, Jessie Blackadder, who was a writer who'd been writing for some years. And when she saw me act, she said to me, if you can do that, you can come to my writing group, Hayley. And I went along to her writer group in about 2002. And these girls who'd been writing for many more years invited me to join them. So I had a group that I would check in with once a month. And that really had great benefit for me. It was often my lifeline coming from the farm. I'd go to the coast, 2.5-hour drive, to see my writing group. And, you know, we could talk books and writing. But really, I think, I mean, I'm a horribly disciplined person. I kind of just show up at the desk every day, that good old bunk glue. You know, the writing books say, you know, just sit it out. And I really have sat it out. The one, you know, Julia Cameron, who does The Artist's Way and various other things, one of her quotes that I've still got stuck up on my wall from all those years ago is, okay, universe, you take care of the quality, I'll take care of the quantity. Huh. And I've done the quantity. So yeah. I feel grateful that, you know, I have a lot of work published because I really am primarily a short-form writer, so I've had a lot of essay published as well. But I've just kept writing. And, you know, if anything, I will do 15 or 20 drafts of something. To let go of things. So it's good when you kind of have, when I went and got some structure, so I enrolled in a, how's this for weird, I live in the middle of the Australian bush, and I enrolled in a Master in Fine Arts through the City University of Hong Kong, which meant I had to go there a number of times over the degree. I took a long time. I took 4 years to do this degree, but I had a mentor, which is the benefit of those sorts of low-res programs.
Yeah.
So I would have deadlines, I had somebody to submit to, and that was, I think, the turning point in my writing journey. I hate that word, journey, but for me, that was the, you know, that really helped, and it broadened my world, because I found living in the bush pretty tough, and suddenly I was connecting with writers and readers who were all over the world, and that really set me up and helped me get some structure and produce. And I've produced a lot of work in these last 7 years of writing nonfiction. And then, you know, in 2016, finally, I tried to make the essays work as an anthology and I couldn't, but I showed it to a wonderful Melbourne-based editor in 2016, Nadine Davidoff, and she told me, no, you need to turn this into memoir, Hayley. You can't, you know, don't do it if the essay's turned into memoir. And that's what I've spent, you know, the last couple of years doing until it finally came out.
Wow.
So, you know, the writing journey, I think, has an organic nature to it. Like, I never thought I would write a memoir. Seriously, yeah. I don't have a particularly fascinating story, I don't think. I think we've all got interesting stories. We've all got a pattern to our lives. I never thought I would land up writing this kind of, you know, fall in love with a cattle farmer, go live with her in the middle of nowhere and write that story about displacement and belonging.
Well, to me, it sounds like a classic Australian story, in a way, you know, from 100 years ago.
Well, the way it's a pair of dice in the middle of nowhere. So, you know, it's got all of that. And I think we certainly, I certainly feel like I want more lesbian stories in our world. And, you know, this is, it's a lesbian rural story. But really, I'm a migrant too, and I'm a Jewish girl, and I'm an academic who wound up living in a community which is vastly different and a life that is vastly different from what I thought my life would be. And I think so many of our stories are like that. I think if you identify as LGBTQI plus, then you're going to have some sort of a story about, you know, not living out the expectations that others might have had of you and coming out as different in some way from who you were expected to be.
So,
lots of our stories are that.
Yeah, and tell me, Hayley, how did you find writing being honest with the reader about who you really are, opening up and telling your story and personal bits and pieces? Did you find that difficult, or was it really to help you through your own life passage, being that honest on paper?
To be honest, because I'm writing essay, and the essay lets you expand into the universal in a beautiful way. So I once wrote an essay about digging out our long drop loo and how that made me think of all the shit that I carry from my South African past and a whole lot of stuff around domestic work, and then that helped me jump into domestic workers in Hong Kong. So the essay gave me that framework, and when I started writing in this form, I was really writing to make sense of this life I'm living here. I'm not, you know, physically able and practical and manual like my girlfriend Jen is. I'm much more heady and cerebral. So the essays were really me engaging with my rural environment and this unexpected life in my way, a heady cerebral way, rather than Jen's physical way. So the essays led from that. And obviously, if you're trying to make sense of something so deep and personal, you are putting yourself on the page. And in a way, that's what the essays were for me. I didn't set out to tell my deeply personal story. I set out to make sense of all sorts of things. And I hope that now the memoir does exactly that. It's certainly, I have shown a lot of myself. But, you know, I think we do need to remember that anybody in a book, whether it's fiction or nonfiction, is a character. You know, Jen's a character, I'm a character. I can't tell everything. And I don't want to tell everything. So there is a level of selection that happens when you write in this form. And I've certainly shared a lot. And that is often what, you know, people who are uncomfortable with my book will say things like, oh, you've certainly laid things bare. But I also wanted to talk about that internal landscape. You know, obviously I'm being very much absorbed by an external landscape here. But so many boundaries and blocks people have, particularly in the country, about what they're willing to share in terms of their internal. And I suppose I've chosen to share my internal because I think we all have those things going on. And if we just embark on a conversation which opens things and has a level of generosity and interest for anybody's story, then everybody's got stories they want to share and things that we all struggle with so much. And try to come to terms with ourselves. And sometimes that's really so lonely to do it on your own.
Yeah, yeah.
And, that's what literature's for, in my view. It is to help us through those really lonely moments when we think we're the only nutcase who's standing in the middle of the bush thinking, what the hell am I doing here?
So what does it feel like now? You hinted at it at the beginning of the interview, but what does it feel like now that you've actually, it's out there, people are reading it, people are commenting, you'd be getting reviews. What's that feeling like from this very long journey that you've been on with this?
It's a wonderful experience. I've had my little month in the spotlight and I don't have any great expectation that it's going to go on. But the last month has truly been wonderful. And if I always dreamed about getting a seat at the writer's table, the acknowledgement that I've got in this last month, largely from my readers, to be honest. I've never been a social media girl, but I have been a shameless self-promoter during this last month. And I've been on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And I felt like there's been a community of readers. And I really, I kind of feel like those readers and what they've been saying about my book have been the best endorsements I could ever have had. I'm very grateful for the endorsements from Lee Coffin and Peter Bishop in the actual book. But, I've had this really lovely time with the readers. And I think because the book is about home and belonging, and isolation has obviously been a very big issue for me in the bush, and we've all been dealing with it during COVID time, I've really had a sense of community around the book. So it's felt like, I feel like I've been throwing this great big party, which is one of my all-time favourite things to do. And I feel like I've got so many people connecting, whether they're straight or gay or whatever, Australian or from Hong Kong or South Africa. I feel like it has been a community that's been created with the book. To be honest, I've not yet managed to get a review in any of the big outlets. I'm hoping someone will review my book. Still waiting to read a review I really do feel like my readers' reviews and the responses I'm getting are really just the most beautiful experience for me. It's kind of, the book has been my phosphorescence. There's been quite a bit of a big time in my life, and the book has really been the light for me. And I just feel like it keeps sparkling for myself and for the people around me. And I'm kind of grateful that it has been lockdown time and that I've been stuck on the farm doing Zooms or phone interviews. And it's sort of interesting when you write a book which has a lot of my local community in it, and we've not had to go to Friday night hall night or fire brigade meetings. So I actually haven't had to confront the neighbours who are now reading so much about Jen and I in this book and see them face to face. So it's been an interesting thing, but I have had all the locals turn up and say, we want to get a signing, Hayley.
Oh,
so that's nice.
Oh, that's lovely. And can you see yourself, not right this very moment because there aren't any on, but writers' festivals? Do you want to do all of that? Do you want to sit, or have you done that a bit with your essays anyway?
The thing about being a writer, you don't really get those invitations. But I had a number of invitations, and I was actually kicking off with Melbourne Jewish Book Week, and then the Hares and Hyenas were going to have in conversation. So it was all kind of set to go. Those, of course, have been cancelled. I hope another invitation will come at some point, but who's to know, really? I really would love to chat to readers more than anything else at the moment. Yeah. I did a book club the other day with Granite Boulders Land Care Group has a book club, and I had a Zoom with 10 people, and that was really fun. So I guess I feel like, I want to talk about belonging and placement and community and isolation and activism and all the themes of my book, and community and love. I want to talk about those things, and the book is really about all those things. So if there's an opportunity for that, that's where I'm.
Yeah. And do you think you've got another one in you, another book?
Look, I'm always right. For me, art and life are a little bit synonymous. Sometimes it's maybe a bit of a problem, but I'm always writing. So I've got a lot of projects on the go, and just need to have the time and space and energy to get to them. But there's a few that were ready. This book, Nadine did the edit report for me in September 2016, and obviously I've left it alone for months and months at a time and worked on other projects. So hopefully there'll be time for them soon.
Yeah. Well, congratulations. It's a great read. And I think you need to do another couple. Yeah, like even though it's such a long process, but come on, pull that finger out and get stuck into it.
David needs more books to read.
I need more books to read.
I'm there.
Hayley, what's the book called again, so people can get their hands on a copy, because it's a must read.
The book is Untethered, a memoir, and it's published by Ventura Press. And available from all your independent bookstores, and also online at Booktopia and Kindle and all those.
All right. Brilliant. Well, it's been absolutely a pleasure talking to you. Thanks so much, Hayley.
Thank you so much for chat. Bye-bye.
You're on Joy 94.9, Sunday Arts Magazine.
Way Out, House of Awesome is a social...
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.